Luke the physician.
Thank you, Jesus.
St. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 5. If you find it, stand with me for the reading of the Word.
Praise the Lord.
Just got a few things tonight that I want to share with you that I do believe is from God, and just want you to hear and receive what the Holy Ghost would have you to receive tonight from this passage of Scripture. Luke chapter 5, verse number 1. And it came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust him a little out from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were on the other side of the ship, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships, so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord. And he was astonished in all that were with him at the catch of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were the partners of Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. And I'm going to use tonight for a simple subject, a borrowed ship, an empty net, and the Word of God. A borrowed ship, an empty net, and the Word of God. Will you bow your heads tonight? Father, thank you for the opportunity, God, that we have to be in your house. Father, I pray tonight that you would anoint this frail clay. God, knowing that I can do nothing without you, I depend on you. I covet the anointing. Anoint their ears to hear. Help me to say all that you want me to say in the manner you want me to say it. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would help me do no harm or violence to thy word. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. You may be seated tonight. A borrowed ship, an empty net, in the word of God. Now every single thing that the Lord did in his earthly ministry had a far greater meaning than just what meets the eye. Let me say that again. Everything the Lord did in his earthly ministry had a far greater meaning than what meets the eye. As we well know, and we must never forget, that every great miracle that our Lord performed while on this planet, those miracles are still available today.
Amen.
I want you to get that. I want you to grab a hold of what I just said. Every great miracle that Jesus performed while walking on this planet, those miracles are still available to the church of the living God. When Jesus walked here, he performed a lot of great and wonderful miracles. He would heal a blind man that was blind. He would take and raise a crippled off its bed. He would raise the dead. He would cleanse the lepers. But all these miracles are still available today. They are still being performed by the Holy Spirit through the vehicle called the church. And I thank God every day that God is still a God that works miracles. No matter how bad the need may be, no matter how great the sickness is, our God is able to heal all those that come by faith and believe that he can. For the Bible said in Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. What does that mean, preacher? That just simply means this. If Jesus Christ was a healer yesterday, he'll be that today. Yeah. If God tarries and the rapture don't take place, he'll be a miracle worker tomorrow. Yeah. Because that's the kind of God that he is.
Yes, that's
Amen.
Right.
Hallelujah.
God is still a miracle working God. I've seen God healing all the cripples. Oh, what do you mean, preacher? I've seen God take a man that's crippled by sin, crippled by world, crippled by this age that we live in, and straighten him up, put him on the straight and narrow. I want to tell you, that's a miracle beyond. The greatest miracle that I've ever seen in my life is when God can take an unholy person from an unholy world and bring them to an altar and save them and put them back in an unholy world, and God keep that man holy. That's a miracle beyond words. I want to tell you tonight, God's able to do it. God can change a man from the inside out. He can put him on the straight and narrow. He can make those old crooked legs walk as straight as a pin, because God is a miracle working God. Hallelujah. 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 And I'm thankful tonight that we serve a God that's able to do miracles.
Praise
you. Amen.
Now if we look into our text tonight, verse number 1, the Bible said that the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. These people came from all corners. They came for what? The Bible said they came to hear the word of God. They came from all corners. They came to a hot, burning desert to hear a man preach the word of Almighty God. And I want to tell you tonight, Jesus Christ was a preacher of all preachers.
Yes, yes, he was.
Oh, let me say that again. Yes, he was the greatest preacher that ever walked this planet. What caused these men and women to travel so far to hear a man speak? I can tell you what it was. He was anointed by the Holy Ghost. The Bible said how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And church, let me tell you tonight, the greatest need of the church in this hour is the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. We need preachers today that's not graduated from a Bible school, that's got some doctorates behind their belt. What they need is an anointing. We need preachers that can preach under the anointing and power of the Spirit. And that alone will draw men and women to a place where they can find God.
That's right. Amen.
I've read about a man named John Wesley. And I like what John Wesley said. He would preach 5 times a day. And he considered it a failure if he didn't at least preach 4 times a day. He would start early in the morning, crowds of 50, then in the afternoon would be crowds of hundreds, and by the afternoon time there would be 10 or 20,000 people to come to hear John Wesley preach. And John Wesley made a statement. He said, I set myself on fire and people come to watch me burn. Oh, church, let me tell you, what we need in this hour is men and women that have been touched by the fire of God. Yes. They've been touched by the anointing. When they come behind this pulpit, they know and you know that they've heard from God. And God has touched their spirit. And God has laid His hand on them. And they come here and they've got something to say. They come with the power and the hand of God on their lives. On their hearts.
Right. Amen.
The Bible said that people came and pressed upon him to hear the word of God.
Yes,
what does that mean to press upon? Well, just to make a long story short, it's simple. It means he was standing here and all of you come and begin to rub shoulders with me. There was nowhere for him to turn. They were hanging on his every word because he wasn't like every other preacher. He wasn't like the scribes and the Pharisees. They said that this man teaches like one who has authority. And honey, he had authority. He had all the authority of heaven because he came in the will of God. And church, let me tell you, what we need today is men and preachers that come in the will of God. They come with the hand of God on them, and because of it, people's lives can be touched and changed under the preaching of the Word of God.
Amen.
Praise God.
They've come to hear the Word of God. They pressed upon Him. As I read that today, something began to stir in my heart. I felt the Lord tell me. He said, Nathan, there's still people out there that want to hear the Word of God. Woo! The Bible said they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. I read that and God said to me, there's still people that want to hear the word of God. I know tonight there's multitudinous millions out there that don't want to hear the word of God. I know there's people by the hundreds that want nothing to do with the word of God. But I'm going to tell you, with every 100 that don't, there's 200 that does want to hear the word of God. But there are 1,000 that don't want to hear it. There's at least 2,000 that wants to hear it. Oh God, I thank God
Yes, Lord.
Do you know why they call this the pulpit? The word pulpit. The preacher is to be a pit. And the congregation is to be the pool that pulls out of the pit.
Praise God.
When you come in the house of God and you sit there and you don't never get behind the preacher, then there's nearly nothing being pulled out of the preacher. But honey, if you want to get some revelation, you ought to begin to get behind him and begin to pull out of that pit. Because there's revelations there. There's things that God has deposited down in his spirit that can only be brought out if you pull it out of him.
Praise God.
Come on.
Thank you, Jesus.
I'm going to tell you, that's what they were doing with Jesus. They were pulling it out of him. Hallelujah. He was preaching things they never heard, saying things they never heard. He was showing them things they never seen. I want to tell you, honey, there's things in this Bible that you've not seen, things you've not heard, and the only way you're going to get it is get it out of the man of God. You ought to begin to pull on him and let the revelation that God deposited in his heart, pull it out of him so it can be deposited in your heart.
Praise God.
Everybody's not called to be preachers.
No.
I've talked to a lot of people and I explained to them the word. They said, well, how do you get that out of that? Fact of the matter is, yes, he can reveal things to all of us. But there's just some things that are revealed to preachers.
Yeah.
Because God's hand is on them for that particular purpose. That's why you, when you come to church, you better know you ought to sit there and pull everything you can out of that man of God.
God.
The Bible said they pressed him. They wanted to hear the word.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Far too many today be little preaching. But make no mistake about it, Jesus Christ was the greatest preacher that ever lived. And I thank God today for preachers who preach under the anointing. The true Bible preaching pulls no punches, takes no prisoners, doesn't try to be diplomatic or politically correct. True Bible preaching preaches hell hot and heaven pure. True Bible preaching steps on toes and makes people feel uncomfortable when they're in sin. I thank God for men when they step behind the pulpit. They ain't come with a philosophy, but they come with a thus saith the Lord. And they get down there and they begin to deal with my sin. Begin to deal with my life. I need that kind of preaching.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes, we do.
I don't want to come to church knowing that I've been committing sin and I feel comfortable in the pew.
Oh, Jesus.
When I know I've been out there doing things that Jesus would never do, I'd hate to know I can sit inside of the church and feel okay about my sin.
Oh, Jesus.
I remember. And it's happened a lot of times. Coming to church. And all of a sudden the man of God begins to preach. And all of a sudden a tear begins to stream down my face. Why? Because God began to deal with me. Thank God for preachers that will come with a thus saith the Lord. They didn't come to be your friend. They didn't come to take a bribe. But they come with a thus saith the Lord. And they get down there where I'm living at. You know, just a while back I was preaching a revival. And I was just preaching the word of God. And by the time I got home, I done stirred up a hornet's nest evidently in that church. A lady sent me an email and told me this. She said, preacher, number one, I don't like you. Number two, she said, how dare you come to my church and begin to try to clean the trash out of my house? How about you try to clean your own trash out before you start meddling with mine? Well, that took me by surprise. And so I gently sent her a kind letter back. And first of all, I said, ma'am, I love you. Second of all, I didn't know I was talking to you tonight. And thirdly, has it ever dawned on you? Maybe God's got your address and he knows what you're doing and how you're living.
Come on.
Folks, I want to tell you, when you come to church and God begins to deal with your heart through what this man of God is saying, you ought to thank God for it. You ought to praise the Lord for it. And there are still preachers that's not ashamed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Praise God.
When this world was so rotten, that a turkey buzzard had to hold its nose to fly over. All God needed was a preacher, and God raised up Noah. Hallelujah. Yes. I'm going to tell you, thank God for men who will stand right in the face of the devil and stand right in the face of a church that's ran by demon-possessed boards. I'm going to tell you tonight, thank God for men that will stand up and proclaim the good news of the gospel. And let me tell you, honey, this gospel that I'm preaching to you tonight, it's good news. It's good news. That's what the gospel means in the Greek, good news. It's good news that drunks can be made sober. It's good news that harlots can be made holy. It's good news that drug addicts can be set free from their addiction. It's good news that broken homes can be put back together again. And that gospel's for you. Thank God. There's good news in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Church, it was God that chose preaching as the main instrument to save them that believe. Amen. Did you know that? The main instrument that God chose to save people was preaching. I thank God for the piano. I thank God for the worshipers. I thank God for the song leaders. But God didn't call those song leaders and the worship leaders to save them. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." Hallelujah. God chose this instrument. I know, folks, I'm not the best orator out there. I know I don't know a lot of theology. I don't know a whole lot of homiletics. But I do know this Bible. And I do know, thus saith the Lord. And I do know when God talks to me, I'll stand there flat-footed with my shoulders squared up, because I know I've heard from God. And when I leave here tonight, I'm not going to be disappointed, because I know I've heard from God and I delivered what was on the heart of God to this church.
Thank you, Lord.
The Bible said that they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Listen to me. The Bible is the only revealed truth in the world today. Let me say it again. The Bible that I hold in my hand is the only revealed truth in the world today. There is no truth in Islam. There is no truth in Mormonism, Catholicism, Buddhism, or Hinduism, or any other ism that man can concoct in his stupid mind. Amen. Let me say that one more time. The only truth that's on this planet is the book that I hold in my hand. Islam's not truth. Mormonism's not truth. Catholicism not truth. Buddhism not true. Hinduism not truth. Or any other ism that a man can conceive in his little bitty puny mind. The only revealed truth on this planet is the word that I hold in my hand. For my Bible tells me in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, verse number 15, "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness." The Bible said all scripture is given by inspiration from God. What does that mean, inspiration? That means God breathed. God breathed. You know, there's only three books in this world that claim to be from God. The Book of Mormon, the Quran, and the Bible that I hold in my hand. Those are the only three books that claim to be from a God. Well, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about Mormon, the Book of Mormon. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time at all talking about the Quran. Why not, preacher? Because there's nothing to be said about it.
Come on.
Well, somebody ought to shout. Somebody ought to praise God. That while I'm spending my time arguing about a book that did come from hell, but I'm going to tell you a book that came from God is this Bible that I hold in my hand. The Bible said the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of God. This Bible that I hold in my hand came from God, came from heaven, came out of the heart of God. This Bible is God's Word to this world.
Amen. Praise your name, Jesus.
They can land blast this book. They can can denigrate the Bible. They can just throw it to the side if they want. But this Bible that I'm holding in my hand is going to be the very book that we're judged by when we stand before God Almighty.
Amen.
Amen.
You'll go to Revelation 21. It said the book was open, which is the book of life. And other books were open. Books.
Yeah.
There's 66 of them. He ain't going to judge me by something else. He's going to judge me by this Bible. How I lived it. How I heard it. How I walked by it. Did I listen to it? Did I put it in my heart? This is the only thing we've got to go by. And I thank God for the Bible.
Yes, amen.
I thank God for the Bible. This is the most, church, I'm going to tell you tonight, you ought to cherish the Bible. Oh, hallelujah. You ought to hold it as close to your heart as you can get it. Hallelujah. You ought to hold it in your heart. You ought to ponder on it. You ought to read the Bible. You ought to get it down in your spirit. It's one thing for me to preach it to you, but it's quite another for you to get home and break it open for yourself and let those pages jump off the page into your heart, into your spirit, because this long will change that life.
Hallelujah.
Yes, it will.
Sure.
Praise God.
Inspiration. Listen to me. Inspiration is the superintendence of God, the Holy Spirit, over the writers of the Scripture, as a result of which these Scriptures possess divine authority and they are free from error. There's not one error in this Bible. If one bit of it's false, throw the whole thing away. But honey, they try. I know a man by the name of Grant Jeffers. Don't know him personally, but he's a Bible scholar. Great, awesome Bible teacher. Some of you probably heard of him, Grant Jeffers. Well, he used to be an atheist, a devout atheist. And he's one, this guy's brilliant. I'm talking about genius. He decided I'm going to prove that the Bible's false and a fake. So he began to go through Genesis all the way through to find a contradiction and to prove that this Bible's wrong. By the time he got through it, he had given his heart to Jesus and turned his atheism around. He come to find out this Bible just what it said it was. I'm going to tell you tonight, this Bible's real. Everything that it says is real. You can bank on it. You can hope on it. You can believe on it. This world's going to crumble. I'm going to tell you tonight, the Word of God is greater than heaven itself.
Oh,
hold on now, preacher. You're borderline in heresy there. What do you mean the Bible's greater than heaven itself? Well, the Bible said that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall live forever. I'm talking about the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E is the book for me. I stand alone in the Word of God. The B-I-B-L-E. Woo! The Bible. The Bible's the most hated, most loved book on this planet. The Bible is the world's all-time selling book. Did you know that?
Amen.
Over 2.5 billion copies have been printed, which are available in every... And over, it's been printed in over 700 languages. Ain't no other book ever done that. I'm going to tell you, the Bible's precious.
Yeah, praise God.
Glory to God. Now the Bible said that a crowd of people began to press upon him, pushing Jesus closer to the water. As they would press on him, crowds began to come. And they began to press upon him. And as they were pressing upon him, they were easing him towards the water. And he saw two ships of Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And the text said that he got into Simon Peter's boat and asked him, "Would you let me borrow your boat and push me out into the sea a little spell so I can preach to these people?" So the Bible says that he borrowed Peter's boat and he used it as a platform or a pulpit to preach to the masses of people. Do you know why he did that? Well, number one, there wasn't enough room there for him to preach to everybody. Only a few could hear him. So he got out there on the water, and that water, as his voice echoed off that water, he used it as an amplifier. Now hundreds could hear what the man of God was saying.
Yeah.
And so he preached to them. In verse number 4, after the Lord had finished speaking, After the Lord had finished his ministry there, his time of ministry, he turned to Simon and said to him, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Now, listen to what he said. He said, Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your net for a catch. Now, there are several lessons that we can draw from this particular text in verse number 4. Number one, Jesus was calling the disciples to go deeper. He said, launch out into the deep. And church, I believe tonight, in this last hour, God is calling the church of the living God to go deeper than we've ever gone before.
Amen.
The Bible said in Psalms 42:7, he said, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. Maybe there's some of you here tonight. You're satisfied with a trickle. You're satisfied where you're at. But do you understand there's a blessing waiting out there in the deep part of God that you're not going to experience out there in the shallow part of the waters? I can feel the deep of God calling to the deep of me, telling me there must be more. There's places in me you've never experienced. There's a touch in me you've never had. Go deeper, church. Go farther, and I'll show you a side of me you've never seen before. Launch out into the deep. He was teaching them that. He was telling them there's deep places in me you've never been to. The second thing he was teaching them, that there's some blessings you can only find in the deep. Well, glory, somebody ought to shout right there. There's only some blessings you can find in the deep. Yes, there's blessings to be found in the shallow part of the water. No doubt, there's blessings to be found in the shallow part. But there's some greater and bigger blessings waiting for them that will launch out into the deep. Maybe you're satisfied with shallow blessings. But I've got a desire for the deep, greater blessing. Oh, hallelujah. I want to get down there and dig up things out of the Bible that I've never experienced. I want to find the truth here. I want to find a nugget. I'm going to tell you, the only way them diamond hunters are going to find them great diamonds, you can't find diamonds on the buried under the ground. You got to dig deep for a diamond. You got to dig deep in the heart of the earth. Honey, there's diamonds in here that can be found if you dig them out. Oh, God, give us lay people today that's got a desire to dig deep into this word. Let's dig deep into this word and find a life-changing word from God.
Amen.
Praise.
Launch out into the deep. Peter said, Lord, we fished all night, but we've caught nothing. Now you've got to understand, these boys were fishermen. They were skillful. They were professional in their occupation. Robert's professional in his occupation. He's a body man. He can put them dents, pop them out, putty them up, make it look like it never happened. Because he's good at it. These boys were good at fishing. But no matter how great and good they were, they still caught nothing the night before. Do you know what Jesus was teaching them from that? He was telling them, boys, you're good at what you do. But without me, you can do nothing. Oh, hallelujah. They fished all night. They caught nothing. Because Jesus wasn't in their midst. Folks, I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of things going on in the church, and we're accomplishing nothing. But I'm going to tell you, we can't accomplish anything until we get Jesus in the forefront of it. He's going to have to be the center of what we're doing. The Bible said in John 15:5, for without me, you can do nothing. We've got to come back to that. Today, we've gotten too smart for our own good. We go to school, we get educated, we learn a lot of things, and we think we know how to run things without God. And for the most part, the church has become one big business system. We run the church like a business. God's nowhere to be found. Matter of fact, look in the book of Revelation chapter 3. You'll find Jesus on the outside looking in, knocking, trying to get in the church.
Yeah.
Why? Because we've become real sophisticated.
Yeah.
We've become real smart. But we've accomplished very little now.
Very little.
Very few souls are getting saved in our altars.
Amen.
Very few drug addicts are getting free from their sin.
Right.
Very few people healed in our altars anymore. Why? Because we are accomplishing nothing.
Right.
We've got a good word. There's good preaching. We've got preachers that know how to preach. They've been taught how to preach. They've got good sermons, but they have no anointing, and there's nothing to break the yokes off the people.
That's right. Anointing, it can't.
And Jesus was saying, boys, you're skilled. You're professional. You know what I believe happened? I can't prove it by the word, and you can't disprove it neither. But I believe this. I believe that the God that created them fish stopped those fish from going in that net that night before. Because them boys knew how to fish. But God backed those fish away so they couldn't catch nothing to show them without me, he can do nothing. Sometimes God's got to stop the flow to get us back to where we need to go.
That's right.
Well, glory. Somebody ought to praise God right there. Maybe things ain't flowing like it used to be for you. Maybe God's trying to humble you and get you back to where you depend on him and him alone.
That's right. Lord help us.
And the Bible said the Lord borrowed Peter's ship. The Lord never asked you for anything or from anyone but that he doesn't plan to give back to you on a greater scale. Let me say that again. He borrowed Peter's boat. But God never asked for something that he don't aim to give back in a greater way. What do you mean? Didn't he borrow a little boy's lunch once?
Yeah.
He borrowed a little boy's lunch. Gave him two fish and five loaves of bread. That's not much. Now, that'd be enough to feed a few of us here. Well, maybe not. Maybe not. But it'd feed somebody here. But two fish and five loaves cannot feed 5,000 people. But that little boy gave all that he had to Jesus. But when the little lad gave it all, then the miracle happened. And the Bible said that those two loaves and five loaves, two fish began to multiply. And that was enough to feed 5,000 people.
That's right.
Not counting the children and women. But after it was all done, they went around collecting the food that remained. And there was 12 baskets left over. And the little lad, I guess the disciples had to carry it home for him. Mama, look at the food we got now. Where'd all that come from? Well, you know, I lent what little bit I had to Jesus, and look what he blessed me with. Church, I want to tell somebody, he don't ever ask you for anything that he don't aim to give back to you in a greater way. If God can get it out of your hand, honey, he'll bless you in a way that you'll never dream or hardly imagine. That little lad held on to it. He'd have never got no return on it, would he? But when he gave it all, the miracle happened. Church, until you give it all, the miracle never happened. Now, preacher, you talking about giving all my money? No, I'm talking about giving all of you to him. Giving all that we have to him. And God can't change it till you give it all, till you give your heart to him, till you give your life to him on a full scale. And the Bible said he borrowed Peter's boat. But Peter had no idea when he loaned that boat what he was going to get in return. But yet, we don't give to get, do we? We can't have that concept. I know the world, I loan you $10, but I want $20 in return.
Come on.
We want interest on that money.
Yeah.
And even when you don't want interest, some people do want you to have it anyway. I like those kind of people. You don't ask for it back, but they give you more than what you wanted back. But that's neither here nor there. That wasn't even anointed, was it? Church, listen to me. The Lord wants to borrow your ship. Even though your net is empty, your ship is dry and in the dock. The Lord wants to borrow what you have. Now, hold your breath when I say what I'm about to say. I speak tonight right now concerning your finances. This is how the work of God is carried out. According to Romans 10, 13 through 15, the Bible says, how can they hear unless they hear from a preacher? How can preachers go from point A to point B if they're not being provided for by somebody in that congregation? I know people that are givers, and God is blessing them. I know a man right now that supports a particular individual every week. I mean, every month, he's supporting. Send him a check in the mail. And God's blessing is on that man financially. Because they're givers. Because they give. And today, as I was studying and began to pray over this, God began to deal with my heart. And so I talked it over with the wife. And I know we can't afford it, and I'm not going to tell you how much. Because it's nobody else's business between me and God. But He's laid it upon my heart to give a particular individual so much of money a month. Why would you take what little you got, preacher, and give it to somebody else? Because I know I cannot outgive God. If God can get it through me, honey, He has no problem getting it to me. God wants to borrow my ship. God told me today as I studied this, He said, Nathan, can I borrow your ship? He's talking about my money. I ain't got much, Lord, but I'll give you what I got. Because I know if I let alone in my ship, I know there's a blessing waiting out there that I can't contain.
Amen.
And the Bible says, well, you know the story. We read it tonight. Church, listen to me. Maybe you're here tonight and your net is empty. How many's got an empty net? Now, you know, I'm talking about finances right now. How many's got an empty net tonight? This is not a trick question. Raise your hand. We've got empty nets. We've got holes in the net. We get money and it shoots right out the bottom. Well, listen to me. You may be here tonight. You've got an empty net. But can I tell you, the creator of the sea and the creator of the fish knows exactly where the fish are. Don't let an empty net stand in your way. Let God borrow your boat. He'll lead you to a score of fish that will boggle your mind, and your net can't contain all the blessings God's got in store for you if you can borrow your ship tonight. Well, this is going over by like a lead balloon. It's all right. I'm going to leave here happy because I obeyed God. Peter said, Lord, we fished all night. We've caught nothing. But nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down my net for a catch. In the natural, Peter thought this was an impossible task. Peter knew, I fished all night, I've sweated, I've done everything that I could do to catch a fish, but to no avail. This seems impossible. But where it's impossible for man makes God, where it's impossible for man makes things possible with God. Listen, Peter's response was an act of faith. He obeyed the word of God. I don't understand, God, how you're going to meet my need. I don't understand, God. I've got this need that needs to be met. I don't know where the money's going to come from. But if you tell me to give such and such, nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it.
Amen.
Yeah. I remember a time back, we were hurting for money. I mean, we had 120 bucks in our pocket. Now, that may not be a lot to some folks, but that's a lot to me. That's a lot to me. And I remember at this particular time, I had car payment, had a lot of things going on, no money, no calls coming in. I'm stressing. I'm worried. I was at a prayer meeting, and God spoke to me. He said, I want you to give this particular individual 100 bucks. I said, 100 bucks? I only got 120. And so I went outside immediately. I knew that voice. It was the same voice that called me to preach. You know, I found out why a lot of people don't want to go to prayer meetings, because they don't like to hear what God says to them. I went outside. I called my wife. I said, honey, God said for me to give a particular amount of money, 100 bucks to this particular individual. She said, well, if God said to do it, you better do it.
Yes,
don't you like women that just back you up?
God.
She didn't say, how are we going to buy bread if you give the 100 away? You just obey God. If God said it, you do it.
I wrote that out, gave it to him. Next day, I was waiting for money, nothing. Next day, nothing. Third day, nothing. Fourth day, phone began to ring. All of a sudden, I had a month, 2 months worth of meetings. I had one act of obedience. How many blessings have been forfeited because we kept a 20 in our pocket when God was just trying to bless us?
That's right.
Now, preacher, you've become a money preacher, and you know better than that. How many times in the years that I've been here that I preached on finances? That much. That is something that I preach on. But God dealt with me today. He's trying to get somebody blessed in this house. He's trying to get your basket so full that your neck can't hold it. And the Bible said, nevertheless, if thou will, I'll do it. And he let down his net. And this time they caught a group of fish that their nets couldn't hold. So Peter called his partners. Said, bring your boats too. Yeah. And so they came, had two ships out there, and there was so much fish that both ships began to sink. Church, can I tell you there's a blessing that you ain't going to be able to contain if you loan God your ship, if you give to God what He puts on your heart. There's a blessing waiting you. There's a window of heaven that wants to be open over your mind if you'll give God your very best. Hallelujah, hallelujah. A borrowed ship, an empty net, and the Word of God.
Praise God.
In closing, there's the work of God must be done by everyone must do their part. Everyone in this place has a ship that God wants to borrow. He knows your net may be empty, but if you obey, He will open the windows of heaven over your life. He will open the windows of heaven over that life. You know, we can hoard. You know, man has a hoarding nature. We just like to hoard up and save up. And that's the problem. We want to keep what we got and put it in a barn and leave it there. But God wants you to put it in the ground, plant it, so there can be more of a harvest. If that seed in that jar is left in that jar, there will never be a stalk of corn out there. But that farmer takes that seed and puts it out there on that ground and waters it and believes God for the rain. And the rain comes and the harvest comes. Stand with me tonight. We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing this song. And if you're able to sing with me tonight, I want to sing this song tonight. That goes right along with this message. I want you to listen. I want you to obey God tonight. Well,
let down your net. Down into the water, there's a blessing waiting you to contain. Let down your net. Down into the water, be pouring out that ladder. Why don't you let down?
Come on, everyone that would, let's come find us.